The following is a podcast from Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation tonight comes from Ephesians chapter 6. But before we delve into it, I've got a question. What made you select what you're wearing tonight? The temperature. Still a little bit warm. Got warmer over the course of the weekend, so we go short sleeves. That's why I went short sleeves tonight. Other things. Functionality. Might have been in a casual setting already today. We come, and that's part of this group. We come because we're casual. Yes. For visibility. Barry's on his bike on a regular basis, so he wears what he wears to be visible out there. Other things. Few things that's clean? Yeah, exactly. I posed that question today to a bunch of college students, and I got a big chuckle out of it. It was like, the guys are like, well, this is what I have clean. So you have the functionality. What we wear is based on what is the point and what is the purpose. Are we getting dressed up for church, a wedding, to go to a funeral? Are we going to a ball game? I was told that what I'm wearing has kind of that psychedelic look, like it's kind of scary, too many lines, and it might make people wig out. So tomorrow, next Sunday, I'll go with a solid color so it doesn't hurt anybody's eyes. We look and we see what is the point and the purpose, and then we put on the appropriate outfit. For fun, people might not think this is fun. For fun, I referee sports. So for that, you have a striped shirt, and a special uniform to identify you from the different players that are out there so that the coaches can find you immediately and then instruct you to do what the right thing is for their particular team. As we look to Ephesians tonight, God is telling us that we are to put on special clothing. And I got a friend with me that would help me point this out. Some of you might be familiar with this guy. This is known as Warrior Man around Wisconsin Lutheran College. They let me borrow him, so it proves that I'm very important. And I promised to bring it back in one piece. I was surprised that I was able to jam it into my back seat on the way over here. So, but we've got Warrior Man. And obviously, when you are this Christian warrior, you need to be prepared for battle. You need to be ready. At the time of the Apostle Paul, the Roman government was in authority, and the Roman soldiers, they had a different type of outfit, I guess we would say, a different type of uniform. At the time Paul writes to the Ephesians, he is under house arrest. He is in Rome, the capital of the empire. He's awaiting trial. But he writes this special letter to people that he cherishes and loves in a town called Ephesus. He had spent 3 years there during his last missionary journey. And so while he is there, there's kind of this understanding of maybe I'm close to the end of my ministry, and there's so many things that I want you to know, and there's so many things that I want you to share with the rest of the Christian church at that time. So you've got the first three chapters of Ephesians that talks about, here's what Jesus has done for you, how he has changed your status before God. And then the last three chapters points out how we are to live for God. And it goes back to that theme, sanctified, being set apart. When we hear that term, sanctified, we think to ourselves, well, who are you? You act so sanctimoniously. Your level of sanctification is so much higher than me. What does that mean? Well, in order to have sanctification, you have to have a word called justification. And that's what Paul talked about in the first three chapters. Now, I taught middle school children for 14 years the truths of the Bible. And I told them, I'm going to have you in a classroom for 3 years, and if you don't remember anything else that I tell you, I want you to remember this. And I would use my hand as a gavel that would continue to pound on the desk. Not because I was mad and not because I was angry, but because I wanted to drive into them the fact that God is a righteous judge. And God expects us to live perfectly each and every day. And I'm going to keep going until I'm done explaining it. He expects us to be perfect, and yet we don't deliver on that perfection. And so we have every right to be punished. We have every right for the judge, the one true God, who we have sinned against, say, you are guilty, and I'm going to send you away for eternity. Not just the physical death, but eternal death in hell. But instead of that verdict, what do we get? We get a Savior who comes and takes our place, lives the perfect life that we could not, dies on the cross as our sacrifice, and changes everything for us, and then rises again triumphantly. And the Holy Spirit works in our heart, creates saving faith, and now God the judge sees us as children of God who are forgiven because Jesus shed his blood for us. Instead of throwing us away, instead we are given the greatest gift ever. We are given the comfort and the assurance of eternal life. That is what justification does for us. So I'm hoping, I'm praying that at least for the next couple of hours, you remember this idea of justification. Because justification, then, is what causes us to live a life of sanctification. It is our motivation. Jesus is our motivation to stand out among the crowd. Now, I'm not necessarily asking you to dress up like this or like this, because then you would definitely stand out in a crowd. But I wanted to give you these visuals to help you understand how God's word is a blessing to us and how, as children who are set apart to live lives of thanksgiving, we can celebrate and rejoice because we are sanctified. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and we live that life of sanctification. So, if anybody serve in the military. So if you've served in the military, have friends or family who have served in the military, you know that there is a lot of equipment, the uniform that you wear. It's not all the formal things, but if you are deployed and you are going into battle, you've got helmets, you've got armor, you've got suit, you've got shoes on your feet. Things that are specifically designed in order to keep you safe. Now, the picture that's here, or the picture that we have up on the screen, you might say, that doesn't exactly look war-worthy, because I think we're used to being all covered up. But what the Roman soldier had was enough. And Paul would have observed, this is exactly what this person needs in order to be successful to fight a battle. And where does that battle come from? Well, that battle comes from within, and that battle comes from the outside, the rest of the world. The challenge is there. The encouragement that Paul offers, Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You might not sense it, and you might not feel it, but we are at war. Each and every day, we are fighting a battle that we are not able to win by ourselves. You think about that. If you said, okay, Aaron, just met you tonight. All right, Aaron, you raised your hand. All right, you're going to go fight a battle against an enemy out there, and you're going to go all by yourself. You'd say, well, I'm not going to last very long. I've got all the tactics. I know all the things I have to do. I'm tough and I'm strong, and I understand what it is to be maybe even in hand-to-hand combat. But if there's hundreds and there's thousands and there's tanks and everything coming at me, I know I'm going to die. I know Wayne Chevy would die by himself if it was just up to me to fight off the assaults of Satan. If it was just up to me to look out at our world and see all the things that look so pleasurable and so great, that I would crumble and that I would fall. I look at my life in the rearview mirror, and I can still count out various sins that I have committed that I am ashamed of and that I just can't sometimes get past. And there are things that I know in the future that will come to me that will lead me astray. But if I rely on the one who gives all protection, if I put on the full armor of God, I not only have a shot, but I have a victory. But it's not me standing there alone. It's Jesus who's won that victory for me. And now I have been called to stand out in the crowd. And I'm out there wearing the armor of God. And it's not clunky, and it's not uncomfortable. I pray that it is the thing that helps us appreciate every day what Christ has done for us. What are we supposed to put on? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, when you hear the term belt, I'm thinking most of you are thinking 2 inches of leather that keeps your drawers up. When we're talking, let's see, there it is. When we're talking the belt, we're talking about something that covers the entire midsection. All of the things that keep you, that keep your innards intact, we'll say. From roughly about here to down here. Everything that's sensitive, you've got this belt that's wrapped around you, making sure that if you're in that hand-to-hand combat, that nobody is able to get inside, to stick you, to spill you out, all right? Sometimes that's what our loved ones, we call them loved ones, that's what our friends and our loved ones do. They want to get really close to us, but then unfortunately sometimes they hurt us and they injure us. They lead us astray to live for the world or to put them number one as a priority instead of putting our Lord and our Savior number one. So we're to put on that belt that keeps our insides safe. And then we've got that belt of truth. That truth comes from the Word of God. This is what we rely on. This is what keeps us safe. This is what assures us of all the gifts that we have been granted. We go back to this Word on a regular basis, fully confident that nothing's going to do irreparable damage to us. The belt of truth. Live in it. Appreciate it. Thank God for it. The next thing, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, this makes sense. You want something that's going to protect your most vital of all organs, your heart. From the javelins, from the spears, the things that are going to that could possibly pierce you and kill you. The heart of a Christian's life is Christ. And when we're led by that, but when we're led by the heart of Christ. We're going to give glory and honor to Him. We don't want anything to do damage to that, to take our spiritual life away, but we're going to continue to be renewed and restored, to be made alive. That heart continues to beat and to pump in thanksgiving and appreciation to our God. All right? So we've got everything covered from knees to chest. And then we are to be fitted with the, we are with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Anybody have strappy sandals on tonight? Strappy sandals don't exactly make me enthused to go out to war. I'm thinking I'm getting stepped on, I'm getting trampled on, something's stubbing my toe. But these guys had, these warriors had special sandals, things that could move them forward, that made sure that they had traction. When they're fighting, when they're chucking stuff, when they're dodging things, they need to be able to move quickly. We need to be prepared for those times when temptation comes our way to flee. But I would say also from the standpoint of the fact that we have peace, we're going to want to share that peace with other people. That we're going to go out with the gospel message and point out to them how great and how awesome our Savior is. I don't know about you. Would you consider yourself to be an offensive warrior or a defensive warrior? See, because I think this tends to go both ways. Yep, we're doing all these things to protect us, but at some level, we're running out there. We're putting ourselves on the line, putting ourselves in front of the crowd, willing to share in the good news that we have already been granted. That's part of Live It, to come together as that community and say, it isn't just good enough to be in these walls at 5:30, from 5:30 to 6:30 on a Sunday night, but it's something that we then take out to the rest of the world and share it. So we prepare, we are prepared to put on the proper footwear. Nike, Nike, Victory. Oh, that makes sense. Just do it. Get out there and share the good news with others. So we've got head, well, we've got our feet covered, we've got our midsection covered, we have our heart covered. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Warrior Man has this little miniature thing. I really don't know what that's going to say. The Roman soldier would have had about a 4-foot shield that would be in front of them. Something you could get down on, hide behind, make sure that those wars and the things that were coming towards you, you'd be able to fend off. No doubt you'd be able to shrug off people in that hand-to-hand combat. We don't have to hide. We don't have to be afraid, but we do have the shield. We have the shield of Jesus Christ who guards and protects us, and the Holy Spirit continues to dwell in us and move us to say, yes, we want to be protected, but we also don't have to be afraid. That's one of the unique things. I can't speak for everybody, but I would think anybody who is in the line of fire, yes, you may be moving forward as a soldier, as that warrior. And yet I would think there's always that fear. Are we afraid of what might happen tonight? Are we afraid of what might happen tomorrow, this week, in the next month, in the next year? I can't quell all your fears. I don't live in your houses. I don't know everything that goes on in your worlds. But when we have faith in Christ, no matter what happens, if I don't make it home to Muskego tonight because of a car accident, I know where I'm going. See, people always think, well, if God shields us, then our life is going to be perfect and nothing wrong is ever going to happen. I've never seen that in the Bible. I've never seen that in the Bible that everything is going to be perfect, that nothing will ever, ever go wrong. But we are protected by God's grace so that even if something happens to us here, as God's children, we will have the forever with him. So we move forward, fully confident, protected. And then what are we supposed to do? We need to keep our head, certainly. Take the helmet of salvation. Take that helmet of salvation and put it on. Now, I don't think I'm going to do it here for you now, but this morning at WLC, I preached this similar sermon, and I acted like a chicken with my head chopped off. Have you ever seen that on YouTube? Or seen it live? You know, you heard the statement, run around with your like a chicken with your head chopped off, the head is severed, and then the body. I'll just spin my arm like that rather than running around. I think I frightened some of the freshmen. If we lose our head, then the rest of us has nothing to go by. We understand that our head obviously helps us to think, helps really keep us alive. This tells this to pump and everything else to work, and some of it moves faster than others, and some of it's slower, and so, you know, for some of us, our bodies are weaker at different times. If we lose our head, and as Scripture tells us in other places that our head is Christ, then we are in big trouble. So we put that helmet of salvation on. We put that assurance that Jesus covered all of our sins, changes everything, makes us new, gives us the resolve to move forward. Keep your head in all situations, living as our Savior lived for us. Lives of sacrifice, lives of generosity, lives of love. We continue to share that and pour that out with our family, our friends, and even those people who we are not familiar with. We share that kindness and consideration so that we draw people closer to their Savior as well. But now comes the big one, the sword. That's the offense, really. The offense is the sword of the Spirit. I don't know how sharp this is. This Bible is kind of worn out. My confirmation Bible from 1987. It's in a few pieces. It slides around a lot. It has a little tape on it. But this is what assures us of our victory. This is what shoots Satan down, because we can go to where Jesus rises. On that third day, he overcame the sting of death. He triumphed over the grave, and he assures us that we will have eternal life with him as well. And so we say, Satan, you're not going to take us down. And as children who are sanctified and to be set apart and to be different, we say, world, you're not going to take us down. But instead, world, we're going to live for Christ, and we're going to show you. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to tell you how foolish you are, but what we are going to do is we're going to live for our Savior and offer that example. Now, that example is not going to change your heart. My example is not going to get anyone to heaven. It's only through the Word of Christ, the Holy Spirit working through His power to change everything for us. So wield this sword regularly, because we're in that battle, and Satan is fighting against us, and the world is fighting against us. Sometimes we fight against ourselves. We have our own personal tests and our own personal challenges. When that comes our way, open this book. Go to the book of Romans. There's a ton of stuff in there about justification. That's a great place to start. If you're not very familiar with the Bible, check out Luke. It gives you the life of Jesus from birth to death to resurrection. But surround yourself. Put on this full armor, because it is the thing that keeps us safe, keeps us protected, and even helps us stand out in a crowd. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen.